You need to define your purpose. What is your purpose in life?
Man, you could be great, but you haven't even pulled a strip off to activate it, right? Like, you can be great, but you're living on reserve, right? You didn't empty the bucket, right? You didn't give everything you had to every aspect of your life.
There's always someone who don't believe in your vision. They don't matter. You know, it could be parents. It could be your closest friends. They don't matter. All that matters is what you believe, what you think of yourself. So you got to create your own story. You got to create your own vision. You got to create your own plan. And then you got to be the boss. We are the boss of our own lives, our own destiny, everything.
Never let a situation or circumstance define your life, no matter what it may be. You got something inside of you that's greater than a situation or a circumstance, but you have to constantly believe it, and not only believe it, you have to make decisions and choices every single day to put you a step forward toward what you believe your destiny is. And so me, once I tapped into my purpose, of once I thought it was football, right? But when I started speaking, I'll never forget the day I got the exact same feeling backstage that I used to get before I ran out on the field to play football. And that's when I knew, like, this is my purpose. This is what I've been put here to do. And so the opposition, adversity, the challenges, it's just a part of the process. It's going to make me a better person. But my purpose, I can't let anything stop or detour me from tapping into that every single day. That thing that not only feels right, that thing that when you do it, it impacts the lives of other people. And so I think when you look at it and you assess the situation or whatever you're doing, I think on the other end of purpose, you have to look at it and count the cost and say, is what I'm doing helping people, right? And I think when you do it that way and you can see it visibly, I think then you know you're in line with your purpose.
Making excuses is just another reason why you're not going to succeed. You know, it's not okay to make an excuse because, you know, I've got not enough time. There's not enough hours in the day to this. I don't like this food. I don't like this. We shouldn't be saying that's okay to make those type of excuses. Let's not make the excuses. Just move on and get on and do better for ourselves.
I'd hate to just get to the age of like 80 or 90 years old or 100 and just turn back and just think that I've wasted time.
I think a lot of people should try and hold themselves a bit more accountable. I think self-improvement and self-worth, you'd feel so much better if you just kind of held yourself accountable a lot more in life. If you find your passion in anything, you know, it could be baking, it could be drawing, writing, whatever. It's find that passion and just don't let it go.
They said my journey ended. They said you done really well, but you see the guy you're facing, he's probably gonna win the ABAs. You can't beat him. He's represented England. They started to share his resume with me. I did not care. I just looked at them, and after they said, yeah, you know, you're doing well, come back next year. You're going to do better next year, but this guy is going to stop you. I just said, he's never met me. He's never been in the ring with me, and he's going to soon find out. That's all I said to him. He ain't met me. And these guys walked away, and I was smiling when I was skipping because they didn't realize they made me more determined than ever. I put on the best display of my amateur career. Do not listen to people that come and tell you that you can't do something. And my belief came from a drive that I had to go back into my earlier vision and dream of that I was someone, that I was gonna make an impact on this planet. I was here to do something. That lost thought and dream, I bought into it again.
just start small. And you've got to like be honest with yourself.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Self, right? It's your choice. Like, it's your life. Like, no one else is going to change it. So you've got to make that decision. And then it's... You know, if you're not happy with your life and you want to change it, then do it, right? And I don't know what that is, what anyone else is feeling, but, you know, if you start small and whether it's, you know, you want to get in shape, like start walking, start trying to create habits that are healthy for your body and for your mind. You know, start walking, join a gym, join classes, put yourself in these situations. And this is where you grow, right? Because you're putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation. And my uncomfortable situation is completely different to someone else's uncomfortable situation. And, you know, you could say that a million times over. And career is like a big one, right? Like, that's the comfiest thing that people have is a career and money coming in. Because that's, you know, without money, like the chances of being homeless and not being able to pay for food for your kids and your family, like that's the biggest fear, right? And I can't tell anyone to change that. You know, you've just got to ask yourself whether that's something that you want to change.
Never let a situation or circumstance define your life, no matter what it may be. Right? Because you can always look at a situation and think, like me, for example, I was the first one in my family to go to college, right? In that house, my grandparents had 16 children, right? 3 of them graduated high school. 3. So the value of education was extremely low. And when I came along and I had this dream of going to the NFL, going to college, I could have looked at my situation and said, well, man, more than half of my family didn't even graduate high school. So it's far-fetched. It's not going to happen, right? People even told me when I got to high school. And a cop asked me once, he said, man, what's your dream? I said, I'm going to go Division I, I'm going to go to college, then I'm going to go to the league. And he's like, you'll probably go to cell block D1. And I was like, man, you're making a mistake. Like, I've never met you a day in my life. And he's like, your family went to this school. Your uncles went to this school. They got an uncle in jail, right? Had an uncle in prison, right? And I was like, yeah. He's like, apple don't fall too far from the tree, right? And what he was saying to me was, you'll probably repeat the same pattern that they repeated. You come from the same household, right? And I could have looked at it and made an excuse and said, I'm gonna lower my standards to meet and accommodate my household, my experience, my situation, my circumstance. Or I can take my situation and my circumstance and raise my standard and say, I'm going to be an example and I'm going to triumph. And I'm going to use my situation and my circumstance as my driving force and my fuel, right? And so never allowing a situation or a circumstance to define your life and understanding that you got something inside of you that's greater than that situation or that circumstance, but you have to constantly believe it. And not only believe it, you have to make decisions and choices every single day to put you a step forward toward what you believe your destiny is.
Fear.
Fear is a fighter's best friend.
Fear. We all suffer from fear.
See, fear keeps you sharp, it keeps you awake, you know, it makes you want to survive.
We all suffer from fear.
You gotta learn how to control it. Because fear is like this fire, all right? And it's burning deep inside. Now, if you control it, it's gonna make you hot. But you see, if this thing here, it controls you, it's gonna burn you and everything else around you up.
Whatever you focus on becomes your reality. If you focus on your fear, fear will become your reality. Don't focus on the fear. The fear is gonna be in the room anyway. Focus on what's right and not what's wrong. Fear won't help. Everything else does.
You can either live your dreams or live your fears. And I think the majority of people actually are not living their dreams, but are living their fears.
Fear is driving society, because that's the only way you can control a society.
If you focus on your fear, fear will become your reality.
I want to ask you a question. What are your fears? What are you afraid of? What are you scared of? Because we all have fears, don't we?
We all suffer from fear.
The reason that most people are not living out their true potential is because of fear.
You cannot just let that fear freeze you. You just have to turn that into, again, the positive. You know, you cannot let it, you know, become so overwhelmed that you cannot do anything. If you just focus on that moment where you're doing, then you'll be okay.
Now, fear is going to be a player in your life. But you get to decide how much. You could spend your whole life imagining ghosts, worrying about the pathway to the future, but all there will ever be is what's happening here. And the decisions we make in this moment, which are based in either love or fear.
We can get so wrapped up in the details. How fast your race time is going to be, how much money you're going to make on this deal, what the coach is going to say, what are you going to write? We get so wrapped up in these details, we never get started in the first place. This is fear of success. This is fear of not knowing. And this is called faith. Go where there is no path and leave a trail.
Don't focus on the fear. The fear is going to be in the room anyway.
If you break it down, like, fear is just a reaction in your body. Fear generally only happens for like a short period of time, because there's usually a logical explanation that you can put to why you're feeling that fear. Like, that's a moment to be scared, right? But there's a logical explanation for it, and there's usually an action that you can take which is going to get you out of that fear feeling and get you to some sort of safety.
You don't want to be governed by your fears. Tackle them head on. Don't look too deeply into the word fear. Rather just look at it head on, give it that nod and go for it.
Falling down is an accident, but staying down is a choice. It's okay to fail. It's okay to fall. It's okay to lose, but it is not okay to quit. It is not okay to give up.
A lot of people allow fear to stop them from living their dream. What's stopping you from doing what you want to do? There goes a second. There goes another second. And life is happening right now.
Unfulfilled dreams. Unfulfilled purposes. Inventions that never came to bear fruit. Most people don't complete what they began. People that had ideas and never came to life. Maybe singers never realized songs that we never got to hear. Poems that were never written. Never hit books that we never got to read. Because you didn't stay consistent. You began, you fell away, you let life get to you. You let disappointments get to you. You didn't reframe things to empower you to move forward and finish the race. Finish the race. Have a vision, a plan, and finish the race that was given to you.
Like, yeah, you can have the best coach in the world, but that doesn't make you a champion. You have to work for yourself. I am obsessed, especially when it comes to season and you know, comes to my success. I'm absolutely obsessed.
If you want to be the best at it, you've got to be obsessed by it. You've got to give your life it. You've got to live it. You've got to breathe it. You've got to be that willing to go that extra mile just where certain people aren't willing to go. Because if you want to get to where anyone can come in a gym and kick the pads and spar and do this, but when they're tired, it depends, are they willing to do another round? Are they going to get back on the pads afterwards? When you can't breathe anymore, you know, you've been hurt to the body in the middle of like round 10 of sparring and a fresh opponent comes in, are they going to get out? Are you going to stay in and you're going to keep going? So obsession is massively important in anything, not just fighting, just in any walk of life where you want to be successful.
Yeah, of course there's pain along the way, you know. But these are all just feeling up here, you know. It's, you know, how are you going to treat those feelings, you know? what are you going to do about it? That's the big question. You know, for me, I would do anything possible to recover as fast as possible, so I could even train more often. That's my goal. The more you can train, the better you get. If I can train more than that guy, then I most likely on the long term will get much better than him.
Losers always have an excuse. Everyone who loses or something, losers have excuses. You can sit around and wait for stuff to happen, or you can get out there and make things happen, and that is massively important in any walk of life. It don't matter who you are or what you do, you've got to get after it, you've got to chase it, you've got to make it happen yourself, because no one's going to get gifted to you. You're going to have to work for it, and those people who are working and those people who are just grinding and they are going the extra hour, doing the extra mile, they're the ones that are going to be at the top.
Stop blaming others. Stop blaming people for the reasons you find yourself in now. Stop blaming your situation. Stop blaming your parents. Stop blaming the government. Stop blaming your genetic. Stop blaming your finances. Stop blaming your past. Claw yourself back into the light.
That it doesn't come without hard work and dedication. You have to focus on things. You have to fight through adversity at times. And I, for that year when I was 21, I certainly done that, and I'm reaping the rewards now. I'm a pretty skillful fighter, but that didn't come naturally. Failure is something that can be seen as a negative or a positive. In that instant when you fail, it's certainly negative and you're down in the dumps. Sometimes people go as far as being depressed from failure, but it's about using that failure to your advantage, understanding why you failed, and trying to implement things that won't allow that failure to happen again. It takes commitment, it takes hard work and drive and determination and sacrifices and everything else, but I think there has to be an element of luck in your career, and things have to fall into place at the right time. I suppose the more you train and the harder you work, the luckier you get sometimes, but things all have to fall into the place at the right time. There's always room for improvement, and that's what makes a fighter a better fighter.
If you want to achieve your goals, you have to step out of your comfort zone and challenge yourself. So I'm not scared of losing, like I've lost in other situations in it, so, but losing's a good thing at the same time. Big risk equals big reward. Take risks and grow. Failure is failure when you accept it. Failure is like, people say you can fail, but try again and you'll succeed. As long as you're learning, yeah, it's not failure. Yeah, keep trying and you'll succeed. Because if you fail, you learn where you failed, what your mistakes was, and how to do better next time. It's got to have an end goal in sight at all times, the end goal. So a lot, you're going to have a lot of bad days in this sport. Bad fights are going to come, like it's part of the sport. But as long as you keep that end goal in mind, you've always got something to aim for and a direction to go in. Be focused on what you want from life and just stick to that. Whatever hurdles you come past, just stick to that and you'll get there. Path's never always that smooth, and things might happen in your life where you can no longer pursue that goal, so you have to be able to divert any time. You definitely need hard work to get to the top of this sport, because there's so many people doing it, but you do need a bit of luck. You do need a bit of luck, definitely.
The only person you can truly blame is you, because you are the only person who can get yourself out of it. Live life a victor, not a victim. You say, why me? You should say, try me. Life will push, squeeze, pressure, and attempt to make you bend at the knee. Some become a victim to life. Things happen, pain, heartache, and loss. We can either be the victim or the victor to these situations. They say win or lose, at least you took part. But this is life. I am not here to take part. I am here to win. One life. One shot, as far as we know it. This is all we have got. So why waste it? You want to leave a mark. You want to leave a legacy. You want your name to continue on the lips of others for years to come. You want to clock your card in proud of what you achieved, happy with the decisions you made, and with the knowledge that you left the Earth in a better way than you found it. You want the Earth to be a better place because of your existence. You have the ability to do this. All it takes is positively impacting someone else's life, helping others live and lead a more fulfilled life. It starts with you. If life beats you down, stand back up. You will be stronger for it. Every hurdle you overcome, you are stronger for it. Every storm you weather, you come out more determined. Every obstacle you defeat, you come out smarter, with a better strategy. You get what you work for, not what you wish for. Think about what you want, what you need, what drives you towards success. Have you always wanted it? So what are you doing about it? How are you changing? How are you making progress? If you're doing nothing, then how are you expected to even make a touch of progress? Stop wishing for something to happen, because it never will. You need to work harder and harder. This will be the only way to drive yourself forward. Open your mind to new opportunities, to new possibilities, to new achievements. Your future is in your hands, and your hands only. Learn to fend for yourself. Learn to succeed for just yourself. Want what you don't have, and work for what you don't have. Take your drive along with you and motivate your life in the position you've always wanted it to be in. You are better than the desire to change. You have the potential, the energy, the momentum to change. Force yourself to make progress, to achieve, to be stronger, to grow.
It's okay. It's okay to fail. It's okay, because failure ain't that until you give up.
Failure is growth. You know, as long as you look at failure as a milestone of growth, and what did you learn from it, and how did you move forward from that, that to me is growth. It's not failure. The last thing I will ever do is fake perfection. I want to keep making mistakes all my life, because I know I'm working hard when I do that.
Failure is a learning lesson. We need to reframe our belief about failure. Reframe it and put a different story behind it, and watch it empower you and to stop freezing you up, because that's what failure does. When you look at yourself as a failure, you're frozen. You know, you can't allow it to freeze you up. And with that belief that failure means that you're nothing, you're nobody, you can't make it, you can't do it, it prevents you from moving on. It prevents you from moving on. And that's why I had to reframe this whole word failure. And I realized that you're not a failure. Okay, you didn't win that world title against Darius Mukachevsky. Don't mean you're a failure. So I came back stronger.
In that moment, it can devastate you. It can put you on your ass. But the fact is, sometimes the worst things that happen to you are the best things that could have happened to you, because you find something else as a result. So that's why I'm never scared of failure, because all it's doing is bouncing me back into the right direction of where I should be going anyway.
I'm done. I've been abused. I'm done. I've been given up on. I'm done. My parents didn't sort of look after me. I'm done. Someone got me into selling drugs on the roads, country lines. I'm done. There's no hope for me. I've got a criminal record. How am I going to become a businessman? How am I going to have a child? I'm done. No, you're not done. It's the start. Reframe the story. It's in our control to reframe our story. Why do we buy the story that we're given? Why do we give up on this gift called life so easily and allow the pain to stop us from moving on into our great future, man? We got this. We got control. We're a special creation. And we give up and we throw it away so easy. That's why I can't give up and I can't throw it away, because I realize that I'm special, that I'm made by a special power. And we all are, every single one of us.
I think having a purpose is that thing that makes us tick, that gets us up every day and gets us over the hump of opposition and adversity. I think for the most part in life, people pretty much know what to do when things go right. When things go right, they know how to feel, they know how to act, how to react. But it's when that opposition and that adversity comes and it creates a level of misunderstanding, right? Now the vision is blurred. Now you don't have clarity about what you're supposed to do. Now you question if your existence matters. And I think when you have a purpose, it's powerful, because in the midst of the opposition, it makes you realize that you've been put here for a certain reason.
What you do, there's loads of people doing it, but not like you. Not like you and not like you. You do it your way. There's no one on the planet like you. No one. They ain't got your DNA. They ain't got your fingerprints. They haven't got your tone, the way you do things. They're not like you. So you can't decide to throw in the towel and get out the game of life. You can't do that. You're robbing us of what you've been given, what's hidden inside you. There's a hidden leader in all of us. There's gifts in all of us. Why don't we tap into it? Forget what this world has taught us, to fall in line, do as you're told. No, think for yourself, step out of line, feel that freedom and power of stepping out of line and saying, wait a minute, hold on, what you're saying doesn't make sense. What you're saying is not right. You're taking away my constitutional right to live life on my terms. And that's what benefits everybody else. We impact on everybody else's life by taking ownership of ours, by using our gifts and our talents, by treating everybody the way we like them to treat us. The problem is, bro, we're not loving ourselves. We ain't been taught to love ourselves.
This too shall pass. Like I said, I champion adversity, right? We know what to do when things go right. But the next time it gets tough, the next time you question your purpose, the next time you question your existence, your mission, if you're supposed to be doing what you're doing, and it gets tough and challenging, just whisper to yourself, this too shall pass. This too shall pass.
Don't allow their doubt to be contagious. Doubt can allow them to almost let that seed of doubt be contagious. But just reframe that and think, I'm going to prove you wrong.
You have to know who you are first. You have to recognize who I am and accept that you're loved. That means you love you. By reframing that story, that everything that you've told yourself about life, how you got dealt with, how growing up was, all your relationships, all the stories you told yourself that end up being with a negative outcome, reframe it and give it a new outcome that benefits you and empowers you. I reframe my dad's story, and my dad don't love me. Look at the way he beats me, look what he does to me. He don't love me, he don't care about me. I reframed it. Dad needs help. My dad got his part wrong, but that doesn't mean if I don't walk in the right steps in believing in myself that I can't still bear fruit and find out who I really am. Daddy didn't show me, but I showed me, because I believed and understood that I'm a special created being. That's very important, to have great self-esteem. Forget the esteem that others put on you, because normally they don't. We need to put esteem on ourselves. What do we do when we hear people talking positively about themselves? Oh, he's arrogant. You know, he thinks too much of himself. No, he doesn't. You know, what's wrong with talking about how much you love yourself? Because you can only love people at the level that you love yourself, bro. You can't love me more than you love you. It's okay. It's okay to fail. It's okay. Because failure ain't that until you give up.
Our subconscious is a goal-striving, goal-getting machine, and it will not stop until it gets exactly what your dominant thoughts focus on. Doesn't matter who you are, we are all goal-driven. All of us. But the thing is, some people have a chosen goal and some people just leave it to the massive confusion that's going on inside, which delivers them to something that they don't usually want. We are, by default, negatively wired. If you don't have a focus on a goal or a mission, and this is generally in life, you will find that you end up becoming a victim of your circumstances. You get lost in the journey. Something happens, something major happens, and you become a victim of your circumstances because you've got nothing bigger pulling you through. And the reason for that, it comes down to our evolution. Our evolution, as far as evolution is concerned, it wants us to keep doing what we did yesterday and the day before, because as far as it's concerned, that's what's kept us alive until today. It doesn't give a shit if you're happy or sad, whether it's a good situation or not. It wants to keep us in a repeat habit loop, okay? So if you're thinking negative thoughts, and we do, because we're wired that way, if you're thinking negative thoughts, you will keep getting more of that. You will keep getting more and more of that. And you have to change your mindset around that. And the only way you can do that is by having clearly defined goals. Because if you don't have a clearly defined goal, one will be given to you. And that will be based on what your thoughts are. At the end of the day, you've got to define what your purpose is. And the problem is, when you're young and you haven't had many experiences in life, that means that you need to get out there and stop throwing yourself into loads of different experiences. Because you need to start defining what really makes you tick. So it's about defining your purpose. Initially, you've really got to step into the short-term discomfort for long-term gain and start doing things in life. You know, not start following someone else's path and being, you know, follow the program, so to speak. But, and then later in life, if you're like, had loads of experiences, it's about sitting down and write down all the things that really excited you. You need to define your purpose. What is your purpose in life? You know, once you do that, you define, going back over history, where have I felt really good about myself? What have I enjoyed most? And then you will start to define your purpose. You start visualizing, you start thinking about, I mean, thing is, look, if I want to pass an exam, a lot of people, the way we're wired, and this comes down to evolution, because we're always looking for the negatives. We all know that once you create an idea in your head, we always look for things that are going to go wrong. We don't sit there and focus about how great it's going to be when we get that. Whether that's starting a new business, relationship, whatever it is, whether it's taking your exams, you always think about the panic of not passing, the panic of what could go wrong, and that's what we end up visualizing. You know what I mean? And it's about just changing that energy to be more positive. So really, the thing is with this, you'll get so many people that disbelieve and will never engage in it. But when they do it once, they only need a little taste. And once they've got a little taste to know that this stuff really does work, that will change their life forever. Once you've got yourself lined up spiritually, once you've created that bandwidth that is way away from fear, because fear doesn't allow for creativity. The opportunities are already there. Everything's already lined up. A lot of people say in life that, oh, well, you know, I can't wait for the opportunities to line up. They're already there. It's you that've got to line yourself up. And that's when you come from a place of belief and when you're not living in a state of fear. And unfortunately, at the moment, it's amplified at the moment, fear is driving society. Through the news, through everything, fear is driving society because that's the only way you can control a society. We're living in a state. You look at the news, you look at the newspapers, everything is fear. But once you disengage from that, I mean, I don't read any newspapers, I don't watch the news, I don't watch TV. If I do watch TV, it's something very specific, you know, a film or whatever. But I'm very conscious about the content that goes into here. And really, you know, once people have a taste of visualization, you know, I do online courses where I get people to sit down and meditate. For me, meditation, again, people think, how can this guy from the Special Forces meditate? That's Glastonbury hippie stuff. Meditation for me is my focused attention at an intention. It's my moment for me to visualize, create calmness in here, and be able to visualize and what I want, okay? And once I learn to create that stillness of mind, it allows that clarity of vision to what I want. Our heads have 70,000 thoughts going around each day. Now, if you don't focus on some things that you want out of that 70,000 thoughts, you're going to end up with a load of crap that you don't want. And that's the problem with people. They allow the 70,000 thoughts just to be like this washing machine of ideas, and they don't define what they want in life. So that's why they're basically just bouncing like a pinball from side to side, not knowing where they're going, and that's being decided for them. But it's just about creating clear vision and intent for what you want. And that, for me, you know, is such an important process, and which came years later. That morning routine for me is a life changer. You know, it's where I set myself up for each and every day, and I dominate each and every day. So really, for me, it's always been about the fact that I visualize where I want to be when times are tough, when times are hard, when things are going really wrong. I visualize, I've got a vision of where I want to be, and it's that one thing that pulls me through, and I don't get bogged down in the situation. When it comes to humans, we don't even know our true power. It's been so hidden from us by social programming, education, that we don't know our true power. And we have got so much. Every person on this planet has a gift. Everyone has the same skills. Everyone has the ability to create the lifestyle that they want. And that amazing gift has been taken away from us because we've been programmed socially, through education, everything. You know, we've lost our power. I didn't find my purpose until 2011. You know, and that was when I was rescuing the kids from child prostitution and slavery in Thailand. And I didn't know the gift that would give me. You know, so for me, I wasn't searching for my purpose. I didn't know there was such thing as defining your purpose. At that point, I just thought I just couldn't find anything that would satisfy me, and my life was just haywire. You know, and then I went over to Thailand. We're involved in operations rescuing kids from child prostitution and slavery. You know, and going and infiltrating enemy camps and getting the kids out. And that, for me, when I actually saw these kids then go to the orphanage, and then a week later or a couple of weeks later, you're seeing these kids, you know, very young kids walking down the street with a school uniform on and a satchel. And only weeks before, they were about to be sold into some brothel. That is rewarding. Well, you have to start getting experiences in life. You really have to start pushing the bar, whether that's travel, whether that's, you know, everyone will have a passion or a desire to be something. You know what I mean? And whether that's someone that wants to travel a lot, whether that's someone that wants to be in business, you've got to start pushing the boat out and start experiencing with things. You know what I mean? So you've really got to push the boat out, and some experiences you're not going to enjoy. But you start noting down the things you do enjoy, and before you know it, you can define the purpose of where you're supposed to be and what floats your boat. I'd found my purpose. I saw the power of helping other people. And that is such a phenomenal gift. When you actually help people less fortunate than you, or just in general anyway, I think that is something that we have lost the power to harness. Everyone is like hunting for the most social media followers, the more followers on Instagram, whatever it is. Even in a place of work, when you're working on the same team, there's people fighting against each other because they want the kudos of being better than the other person. You know, we forgot how to work together. There's not many people that do selfless acts of kindness anymore for someone for no reward. And that, for me, you know, I paid to go over there. there was no reward for me helping these kids. And that was the biggest reward in itself. It was phenomenal.
Lost. For many years, I was totally lost. Had no purpose, had no vision, had no goals. Till I made a decision and decided what I wanted in life. I found my way because I realized that it was all down to me. It weren't the government, it weren't my treatment at home, it weren't my background, it weren't my culture, it weren't my religion. It's me.
Stop blaming people for the reasons you find yourself in now. Stop blaming your situation. Stop blaming your parents. Stop blaming the government. Stop blaming your genetic. Stop blaming your finances. Stop blaming your past. Claw yourself back into the light. Stop blaming everybody else. The only person you can truly blame is you, because you are the only person who can get yourself out of it.
Like, for most people, man, you could be great, but you haven't even pulled a strip off to activate it, right? Like, you can be great, but you're living on reserve, right? You didn't empty the bucket, right? You didn't give everything you had to every aspect of your life. Like, for most people, they're great professionally, but they end up becoming a public success, and behind closed doors, they're a private failure. Not because they don't have the talent or the skill set, they don't have the character, right? That they can apply it and be consistent in every aspect of their life and empty out everything they got to everything.
Consistency, my greatest struggle. Consistency. Everyone loves starting something. It's so exciting to start something. But then we find we have the problem with consistency. How do we overcome it? By not getting stuck in it. By not allowing the guilt of being inconsistent to stop you from moving forward. Say to yourself, okay, I've stopped. I failed. What did I learn? Let me get back on the horse. Let me get back to being consistent. Do not stop. Get back up and carry on.
Don't quit. Don't ever quit. Persistence beats resistance.
Have you ever heard about any winners making an excuse?
Losers always have an excuse. Everyone who loses or something, losers have excuses.
Be stronger than your weakest excuse and get shit done. Stop making the excuses and start making solutions.
Making excuses is just another reason why you're not going to succeed. We're from a society now, I think, that an excuse is okay. You know, we've accepted it. Like, let's make an excuse why we can't do it. It's not okay to make an excuse because, you know, I've got not enough time, there's not enough hours in the day to this, I don't like this food, I don't like this. It's, let's not make the excuses, let's kind of man up and kind of just move on and get on and do better for ourselves.
You can sit around and wait for stuff to happen, or you can get out there and make things happen, and that is massively important in any walk of life. If you want to be the best at it, you've got to be obsessed by it, you've got to give your life it, you've got to live it, you've got to breathe it, you've got to be that going to go, willing to go that extra mile just where certain people aren't willing to go.
If I say I'll do it, I'll do it. And it's also about being disciplined.
The hard path is the only path. You know, at the end of the day, you have to push through that short-term discomfort for any long-term gain.
People say, yeah, you require a discipline, but then just being disciplined is not good enough. You need to be self-disciplined.
Never give up. There's one thing worse than carrying on, and that's giving up.
Don't give up on your pursuit because of setbacks. Don't stop because of failures. Don't quit because it is getting hard. Success comes at a price, and you must be willing to pay it. This storm will pass, and when it does, if you are still standing, you will be stronger for it. Don't quit. You are already hurting. Why stop now? You have already come this far. Why give in when it gets hard? Why? Don't say, why me? Say, try me. Don't stop when you're tired. Stop when you are done. Once a quitter, always a quitter. Prove them wrong. You are relentless. You will never stop. This isn't a game to you. This is life or death.
It don't matter who you are or what you do, you've got to get after it, you've got to chase it, you've got to make it happen yourself, because no one's going to get gifted to you. You're going to have to work for it, and those people who are working and those people who are just grinding and they are going the extra hour, doing the extra mile, they're the ones that are going to be at the top.
Who am I to judge, right? If I've been put in a situation to help and to serve, I'm gonna help as much as I can. I'm gonna serve as much as I can because I feel like that's a part of who I am and that's my character. Because I've came from a situation to where I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. I came from a place to where I watched my mother scrape up change and dollars to get me a pair of cleats, right? To being in a situation to now, I could buy my son, I could buy my daughter cleats, and it's not a problem, right? I can even buy their teammates some cleats and it's not a problem. But my perspective about it is different, and I got a level of compassion that a lot of people can't understand. Like, I firmly believe in life, it's a lot of moments and it's a lot of people that change and impact your life, right? Like, I don't believe it's just one moment and you say, this one moment just changed my life. Even though that moment may have, but it's going to be another moment that's going to shape and change your life as well. Right? And so never allowing a situation or circumstance to define your life, and understanding that you got something inside of you that's greater than that situation or that circumstance, but you have to constantly believe it, and not only believe it, you have to make decisions and choices every single day to put you a step forward toward what you believe your destiny is. Either somebody is in the midst of adversity or just came out of adversity, or it won't be long before they head into adversity. So you need to be prepared either way. And so we all go through adversity, opposition. I think that's the thing that makes us all in common as people, right? No matter if you're from London, Atlanta, Florida, California, New York, like, we're all going to go through something at some point or phase in our life, right? And as cliche as it sounds, when the quote says, it's never about what happens to you, it's about how you respond to it. That's very true, right? But in the same sense, I think what's most important is, when we go through something, what's the perspective that we have of it, right? Because for most people, when you go through something, the person's natural perspective is, okay, what did I lose, right? What happened to me? Like, I took a loss, right? People never look at it and say, okay, man, tell me, what did you gain, right? Even though I know it hurt, you didn't want to go through it, but look at it in a way to where you can say, what's the lesson in this, right? What would you say life is trying to teach you from dealing with this? And so when I went through it, my perspective was, okay, what can I extract from it to apply to other areas and aspects of my life that I feel can help other people? And I firmly believe the quicker you can shift your perspective from yourself to others when you're in the midst of adversity, the quicker you'll get through it, right? Martin Luther King has a quote that says, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing to help other people? Now, I'm not telling you to not acknowledge your pain. I'm not saying that. I'm not telling you not to say, man, I'm going through this and it's hard. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when you go through it, look at it, step back from the picture and say, okay, I'm dealing with this. 9 out of 10 times, it's somebody else that's either dealt with it or they're going to deal with something similar to this. And if I deal with it in the right way, I can use it to add value to lives of other people. The funny thing was, I had never heard of the injury that I suffered. Never heard of it. When I went through it, I met probably 10 guys years after that had been going through it, that I could talk to at different stages and phases in the process and say, hey, man, Inc., how did you deal with this? How did you deal with this? When they told you this, how did you accept that? And I was like, bingo, this is how I got through it. But I had to shift my perspective from why me to why not me. Can you take the things you learned that made you great in that sport and apply them to other areas and aspects of your life to make you just as great as a person? Man, it's funny. I think the true measure of wealth is happiness, right? Like, I really do. And that's not saying that I'm against money. I'm not against that at all. Because you gotta work hard, make your money to take care of your family, and be able to bless people. But I think it's a lot of people with so-called wealth, and they don't have joy and they don't have happiness, right? And I feel like joy, happiness, and peace is the most important things we can possess, right? And for most people, their material possessions, they feel are the most important. For me, when you got joy, when you got peace, when you got happiness, I think that's true wealth, because you can't put a price on that. Like for me, people can't understand. A guy asked me just yesterday, what do you think about stem cell? Why don't you go over to London or one of these places somewhere and try to get stem cell for your arm? And I was like, I got peace. And he's like, what does that mean? I was like, I'm good in my situation, right? Like I'm wealthy because of that. I got something that you can't put a price on, right? You can't price out my joy. You can't price out my happiness. You can't price out my peace. Now, if I measure wealth by money, money is a number. Numbers never end, right? So you never catch it. Numbers never stop. If your happiness is predicated upon a number, if you're being wealthy, it's predicated upon a number, you'll get it. Then it's like, okay, I got to set it a little bit higher. The number will never end. And so therefore, you'll never be wealthy enough. Man, it's so tough, you know, because I remember when I was young and I didn't have my father, right, in the household. And we became cool. And I remember I used to live my life and I had like, it was like a resentment toward him, right? Because I couldn't understand why he wasn't there early on. Like, I just couldn't understand it, right? And like when I would be home and we would experience certain things and me and my cousins would be asleep on the floor, right? And there were certain questions and things at times that I wanted to ask my father, and because he wasn't in the household, I couldn't ask him. So it created a resentment until one day I just asked. We were together and, you know, I just asked like, man, what happened? You know, and he just shared with me what happened, right? Like I was young, your mother was young. Right. I ended up losing my mother. Right. And I was just scared. Right. And when he told me this situation, I could understand it. Right. And for most people, it's like forgiveness is the hardest thing in the world. And when you see a son, when you see him coming up with his mother, or you see a father that's not present, a lot of times for me, I think now, man, what's that situation? And I want to understand it. Right? Because I firmly believe, as tough as the situation is, my teacher said this to me. My teacher, who's my mentor, my eighth grade teacher. He said to me one day when I was in the eighth grade, because we was talking about fatherhood and stuff like that. And some of my friends, they were talking about their fathers. We were just having a man conversation. And one of my friends said, like, man, my father don't care about me. He don't want me. Right? Like, I'm in the world. I don't see him. Right? And my teacher said to him, son, I don't think any man brings a kid into this world and don't think about him and don't love him and don't want him. And the kid was like, no, man, like that's wrong. Right. And he was like, I'm a man. I'm a father. I'm a husband. Right. And when he said it, at the time I was young and I was like, I don't know. But now that I'm a father, right, I got two kids. I got three little sisters, right? And it's this thing inside of me that makes me think like it was true. It was real. But situations and circumstances happen sometimes that we can't understand, and it leaves a mother in a household, or sometimes it leaves a father to be a single father, right? And when that happens, I think the village is important. It's like me. I got a level of accountability and responsibility with my son. Right. If my son plays on a team, right, and his kids on that team, that their fathers are not present, I feel like I have a responsibility and obligation not to be their father, right, but to fill a void, to be a positive male figure in that kid's life as much as possible, and not just look at the kid and see him drowning and just be like, that's not my kid, I'll just let him drown, right? No, he's very much so my kid. Right? Because God has put me here to be present in this kid's presence, so I'm going to help him, right? And so it's just becoming a village around that mother or around that father to assist as much as possible to help that kid be shaped and molded in the right way with principles. I think, I think the greatest gifts in life, man, is belief and exposure. Right? Because a lot of times, for me personally, the reason I say that is, it was a lot of moments in my life to where it was people that saw things in me that I couldn't see in myself. And they believed in me in a way that I couldn't believe in myself yet. And I rented their level of belief until I got strong enough to possess my own. Right? It's like when you're young and they see you. And it's like even when you start out doing what you're doing, you could be talented, right? And somebody older than you or more experienced than you can see you and know like, oh man, if he did this or if he does this, man, he could be great, right? And they can come to you and say, hey kid, man, you got something. Like, you could be great, right? Like my teachers and my coaches, when they came to me and they was like, son, I'm telling you, like you can go to college, man. Like you really, I know you're talking about it, but your circumstances are saying different. I think you can do it, right? And when they said it, I'm like, oh, I can do it. Like I can make it happen. Because they're believing in me making it happen, I think I can do it. So I think belief, and the reason I say exposure is because, like, I think when you show people things, that's powerful. I think exposure sparks inspiration, right? Exposure sparks motivation. Like when I was coming up in that two-bedroom house with all those people, and I went to the other side of town with my coach, and he was like, no, you don't have to live like that, Ink. You can live a normal life. Right? It changed my whole mindset. And my mindset can never go back to the way that it once was because I have been exposed to something different, to something new. And so I think belief and exposure are two of the most powerful things that can happen to a person. The reason that I think belief is important is because, like, when you're young or when you do something and you're a novice, right, and you start out doing it, and you might think you can do something with it, or you might not. You might do it, and it's being driven by your passion. And then somebody comes along that's a little bit older or even more experienced, and they can see it in a way that you can't see it, right? And so I think it's important with belief, because if a person believes in you in a way that you don't believe in yourself, you can rent that person's belief until you get strong enough to possess your own, right? And you use that person's belief to fuel you every single day. Right? Because you can have a level of belief with what you're doing, but you can go back to a certain set of circumstances that tell you, nah, it's not going to happen. And so you rent that person's belief until you get strong enough to possess your own. I think having a purpose is that thing that makes us tick, that gets us up every day and gets us over the hump of opposition and adversity. And the reason that I champion adversity and opposition is because I think for the most part in life, people pretty much know what to do when things go right, right? Like when things go right, they know how to feel, they know how to act, how to react. But it's when that opposition and that adversity comes and it creates a level of misunderstanding, right? Now the vision is blurred. Now you don't have clarity about what you're supposed to do. Now you question if your existence matters. And I think when you have a purpose, it's powerful because in the midst of the opposition, it makes you realize that you've been put here for a certain reason. And so me, once I tapped into my purpose of once I thought it was football, right? But when I started speaking, I'll never forget the day I got the exact same feeling backstage that I used to get before I ran out on the field to play football. And that's when I knew, like, this is my purpose. This is what I've been put here to do. And so the opposition, adversity, the challenges, it's just a part of the process. It's going to make me a better person. But my purpose, I can't let anything stop or detour me from tapping into that every single day. Because the key with purpose is, I firmly believe every person's purpose is tied to somebody else's purpose and destiny. And so your purpose, my purpose, is tied to somebody else. Like when I speak, when I do what I do. Like people say, oh, man, I really needed to hear that, right? That helped me do this, that helped get me through this, that helped me with this. That's my purpose being tied to other people's purpose, destiny, beliefs, and dreams. That's the power and magic of purpose, right? I don't think it can be a purpose without being tied to other people's purpose, destiny, dreams, and aspirations, right? I think that's the power in it, but realizing it is another thing.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.